Ona ben bak. Anadolu dışarıdaki. Can we Tutar, can we make sure that every member has got a report? Nice, Tata, do you need a picture? Honourable members, good morning and welcome. Let's declare our meeting open. Tutar, can we get apologies for the record?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've got two apologies, Chair. One from Honorable Kenya, and the other one from Honorable Dudley. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Chair.
thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the committee met on the 25th of April to consider the annual performance plan of the department, and also to still view the strategic plan of the department, which was reviewed in 2015. Then the actual forecast of the department for the year 2018-19 was ably captured under the APP, under their APP, the current APP. So the committee considered and discussed the APP as presented by the department, and also projected, you know, views over what the department had presented. So what I'm going to do, Chairperson, is simply to go not page by page, but to simply summarize what is in the report, if you allow me. Then the...
No. No. It is better to go page by page. In fact, refer to a specific item. So if you say under item 1, page 1, this is what is contained. On item 2, page 3, this item, so that members can get notes of what is under an item. I think it is what? Very fun. But I suspect it's a necessary detail.
Okay,
I think there are some that she can just write over, like the measurable objectives of the department.
So normal stuff.
It's normal stuff. You don't need to go through that. The substance. And she doesn't have to read the whole thing. Just to say, under this paragraph, this is what is essential to the document. Your point is.
Okay. All right, there. That's for the purpose of assisting us.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. On under 2.1, this is where Honorable Landers gave a political overview of the work of the department for 2018-19. And two issues were highlighted there. The fact that much as there is a budget increase in terms of numbers, it is still going to be subject to other incidences, like, you know, the foreign exchange fluctuations, and also the fact that compensation of employees is still under the ceiling that was imposed by government across all departments. So what he said was that the department has decided to steadily reduce the number of LRPs from the missions, and in that way they will be able to save on to be within the ceiling under the compensation of employees. And the other issue which he mentioned, which was also of a concern, was the fact that National Treasury has requested that ARF that the ARF should actually have an, okay, is it the ARF? Yes, the ARF should actually submit or send back the money that was in a form of surplus from 2017-18. That accumulated surplus is under the normal practice, according to the ARF Act. Such monies ought to be consolidated back into the ARF for use in the following year. But this particular year, National Treasury has asked that the ARS actually relinquish money back to the revenue fund. The other number three is just on NDP chapters and to show that the work of the department is actually aligned to the government priorities as stipulated in the under chapter 7 of the NDP, which relates to international relations. And then number three to Chairperson relates to the State of the Nation address. In his maiden sona, President Ramaphosa actually pointed to the issue of solidarity with the people of Western Sahara, and also the fact that diplomatic ties with Israel were to be downsized, and also the strengthening of relations with the people of Palestine. Then he continued to show that political conflicts within SADC and also in South Sudan will continue to be supported by South Africa. And the fact that regional integration of SADC is an important factor, and also the relations with the countries of BRICS. Otherwise, there is still continuation in the foreign policy of South Africa. There is no major change, it's just that these areas were the ones which were highlighted. Then number four is just situational analysis around the world. I think the most important thing is we know that the environment within which the department finds itself working is what we call VUCA. It's volatile, unpredictable, complex, and ambiguous. So that actually explains the entire international relations environment, because it is forever changing and it remains unpredictable. And then on planned policy initiatives, which is number five, there are two areas which were mentioned by the department for 2018-19. The first one is the bill, which is still before the committee. And the second one is they are planned to have a SAFTA bill presented to Parliament within this financial year 2018-19. So those two are their planned policy initiatives, which are of priority to the department. And then number six is on measurable objectives of the department. That one, I should just go over it. And then when we come to number seven, this is where the report refers to what the department has actually mentioned as priority for this year, and what it has already achieved in 17-18, which were some of the things which they will carry forward into 2018-19. So when we look at the second paragraph there, it's just to confirm that the foreign policy priorities will be aligned to national priorities, which is encapsulated under Chapter 7 of the NDP. And then when you go to page 6, it's basically to tie
page
in
one.
Page 6.
The following
page, okay. So on page 6, it's simply to confirm that South Africa is part of a collective within the region. It has membership in SACU, it has membership in SADC, and now there is the TFTA, which is the three regional communities in the East Africa one, COMESA and SADC, and also the importance of having ties and also cooperation with this RADS in order to promote intra-trade within the region, and also which will actually assist towards having a continental relationship, which is the African Continental Free Trade Area. So what has happened there is that the TFTA was launched in 2015. But South Africa did not sign at the time. It only signed months later. So there were some issues which were related to non-tariff barriers, which the trade and other relevant departments were still in discussion with, and together with SACU, so that whatever areas of common interest within SACU which will affect the bigger area of free trade or to be discussed first and agreed upon before they could all these countries could get into TFTA. So that those issues which were affecting TFTA were discussed, and subsequently South Africa signed. Then when the African Continental Free Trade came into being, which was launched in March 2018, South Africa was only able to sign the declaration launching the CFTA. But as we heard, negotiations are again being underway, so that agreement can actually also formally be signed and ratified. So this is just to tie in the work that the department has set itself to do within this year. Now, South Africa has taken over chairship of many international organizations, including SADC. SADC, it assumed chairship from August 2017, and it will end in August 2018. And while in SADC, the theme was partnering with private sector in developing industry and regional value chains. So this is what the department has been working on. And also under the AU, South Africa's priorities this year will still be to strengthening of the AU Commission, and also to be working under peace and security infrastructure, where South Africa, as the committee will remember, is still a member of the AU Security Council, Peace and Security Council. So it will continue work under that structure. When we go to page 7, we note that there are still some political instability hotspots which South Africa intends to still continue to support, and also to work towards resolution of those conflicts. And areas which were mentioned were South Sudan, Burundi, the DRC, Central African Republic, Lesotho, and Mozambique. Then there is also the Great Lakes and Sahel and Lake Chad Basin hotspots, which South Africa is also involved, either under the auspices of SADC mediation or under the AU. Then when we come to strategic partnerships with the formations of the North, we realize that Western Europe remains the key strategic region for South Africa. And also that this region actually assists in unlocking the potential for Operation Pagisa and the ocean economy. So that area still remains of importance in the relations between South Africa and Europe. Then the US itself, we will remember that there is AGOA, and South Africa benefits from AGOA, and approximately 62,000 jobs have been created in South Africa in terms of American companies investing in South Africa and also opening up job opportunities for South Africans. Then in the Middle East and Asia, South Africa will also be focusing on pursuing economic diplomacy with the region, and also in terms of AORA, the importance of AORA was also mentioned in terms of, you know, the geostrategic significance of the area. And South Africa is the chair of AORA starting from October 2017, and that chairship will end in October 2019. And then with regard to South-South, which is towards the last paragraph on page 8, there is a significance of South-South cooperation is the historical solidarity and the economic similarities with the countries of the South. So South Africa will continue to participate in BRICS and in IPSA. And under BRICS, the committee will remember that the new development bank, I'm on page 9 now, the new development bank was launched in 2015, while the ARC, the African Regional Center, was launched in 2017 by former President Jacob Zuma. So the ARC is in operation, and hopefully at some point the committee will be able to do an oversight to the African branch of BRICS. So South Africa has assumed the chairship of BRICS from January this year up to 2018 December. And there will be a BRICS summit, the 10th BRICS summit in Johannesburg in July, where President Cyril Ramaphosa will be hosting his counterpart from BRICS. Then on the global agenda, the focus will also still be on the reform of the United Nations system, especially the structural reform of the UN Security Council. That will remain on the agenda. And then we also, they will also continue to support the Paris Agreement, which is on climate change, to make sure that the developed countries are able to contribute to an adaptation fund, which will assist countries that are affected mostly by climate change. And then I think I'll just go to the last paragraph. This is where the committee will be reminded that actually there is a new structure at the department, which came after the committee has suggested that there should be a new structure that is aligned from 2014, that the department should have a structure that is aligned to its mandate. So such a structure came into being in 2016, but however, it has not been fully implemented because of the ceiling that has been imposed on compensation of employees. So the department has had to freeze some of the posts, and it has to work with less manpower in the meantime until such time that the moratorium on compensation of employees has been lifted. And as a result, the department has reported that they have a current vacancy rate of 9.9%, which is in an even still within the national minimum average rate, which is 10%. But clearly, they are not able to actually have a full complement on the ground, which is aimed at reflecting and also addressing the mandate of the department. Now, when we come to the actual budget of the department for 18-19, we find that the amount which has been allocated is 6 billion. And this is considered as an increase compared to last year, which was, I mean, this year is 6.5. Last year it was 6.4. But as we had already said, this budget, much as it's an increase in terms of numbers, it will still be affected by foreign exchange fluctuations, and also it will be impacted upon by unplanned activities, which is a common phenomenon with the department. And also the hosting of a number of high-level events which are coming, which have been planned for 2018-19, which are a result of South Africa being, chairing most of the international organizations that the country is party to. For example, it was mentioned that for BRICS, there will be an amount of 60 million which South Africa will have to part with, which the department will have to part with in order to hold the BRICS summit, and also about 23 million for our, and all this amount will have to come from the budget, the allocated budget of the department. National Treasury has not been able to allocate any extra budget for this event, much as they are a once-off sort of event. But the department has been asked to find ways and means of sourcing out this expenditure within its current budget. Now, with the African agenda and the regional integration policy, the spending under this has been projected to be around 3.7 billion, and the bulk of it, in the usual manner, is going to compensation of employees, travel and subsistence, and other contractual obligations in the missions abroad. This one is particularly affected by foreign exchange fluctuations, because payments for LRTs and also payments for renting and other operational costs in the missions are also paid in foreign currency. So it will still be affected by that. Then when we come to SADC, South Africa will be ending its chairship of SADC, its tenure as chair of SADC in August this year. So there are meetings which have been planned, which South Africa will be paying an amount of 23 million to have those meetings held, ministerial meetings at least, held during its chairship of SADC. And those are listed. In terms of the AU, AU Peace and Security Council activities, South Africa is part of that for the past 2 years. And then there is also contribution which the committee will remember that there have been sort of negotiations are still going on between the department and National Treasury in terms of the increased annual fee which has to be paid by South Africa, and also contribution by South Africa into the AU Peace Fund. So these are all the expenses which have been budgeted for, and they are yet to be paid. Now, in terms of global economic, political and social relations, this is where the department participates in FOCAC and also in the group of 77 plus China and in BRICS, IPSA, all the formations in the South. So participation in these organizations would actually require that South Africa also spend some money, as we have already mentioned, by, you know, the hosting of BRICS Summit, which will be coming, and also the issue of the AWORA Summit, which will also be coming. It will also be hosted by South Africa, and that will require about 13 million. Then, when we come to the work of the mission, which is the last paragraph on 12, on page 12, is that we now have 124 missions abroad, and this 124 missions abroad have to pursue economic diplomacy and also ensure that the planned structural meetings with different countries do take place. And actually they have put a number of 238 economic diplomacy initiatives, which will include seminars for trade and investment, also engagement with chambers of commerce, and also there will be high-level discussions with potential investors, and also high-level visits which will be undertaken between principals of different countries with South Africa. So that is also budgeted for. And also the fact that when we come to 7.5, which is enhancing the departmental operational capacity, this is where the department has the bill, which is before Parliament here, and also it will also be spending on activities of the diplomatic training, research and development sub-program, which is aimed at capacitating government officials in administrative and diplomatic skills through the academy. So that will also feature for the year 2018-19. Then the issue of property ownership, which was raised by the committee in 2015 to say the department should look into a model which will at least try to address the high cost of operational cost in missions caused by renting instead of owning properties in the mission. So the department has said that they have a strategy which was approved in 2017 August, which allows them to provide for a mixture of rental and ownership. And currently there is a pilot project going on in New York to house the mission and also residents. So the department will assess that project and see whether it addresses the concerns that they have. And also, if that strategy works, it will be rolled over to cover other areas. And places which have been earmarked are Luanda, Angola, Juba, Luanda in Angola, Juba, Geneva, Delhi, China, Riyadh, and Rwanda. Then when we look at the international property portfolio under the responsibility of the department, we find that there are 127 state-owned properties and over 1,000 rented properties. So this is what the concern of the committee was, to say the department seems to be having many rented properties and very few state-owned properties, while they have empty properties in some of these areas, and they also have vacant land in this area. And the department's response was that their hands are tied because Public Works has to give a go-ahead in terms of acquiring and also disposing of these properties in order to address this imbalance, which is very costly to the department. In fact, it is very costly. Then when we come to 7.7, this is the PPP model, which is actually being implemented by government across with many departments. The headquarters of the department is one such project where it is managed and maintained by under a PPP arrangement, and also the guest houses, which the department is responsible for, the government guest houses. And then monthly it has a unitary fee for services which it has to pay to the company that is running the properties for them. And also this agreement is going to, at least the one concerning relating to the headquarters and also the guest houses, is going to run until September 2034. Now, okay, Chairperson. So the budget of the department is as in that table, Chairperson. I won't go over it except to say that it's 6.5 billion, and also it's been divided into, you know, expenditure per program, which I think I can just highlight that under the is administration is allocated. There is also program 2, there is allocation under that. Program 3, there is allocation. Program 4, there is allocation. Program 5, there is allocation. Now when we go to page 20, that's the ARF issue. This is where it was reported that the ARF will be having, this year it has been allocated 38 million, 8 point something million, 0.5. And then that allocation will be impacted upon if National Treasury, even this year, if it requires that they actually pay back into a revenue fund the surplus that it's going to accumulate. So that will impact upon the mandate of the ERF in terms of if it's not going to be able to fund projects or to fund to release money for requests that it's going to receive throughout the year, then there might be a problem to the mandate of the ERF. That might cause a problem to the mandate of the ERF. So 1.6 billion has been recalled by Treasury, which was accumulated in 2017-18. So 790 million for this year if it's recalled, then the ARF will actually just be left with that 38 million that has been allocated. So that was the issue there. And then the other thing which the ARF is going to be dealing with, focus for 2018, is with the elections which are going to be held in three countries, Zimbabwe, Madagascar, and the DRC. And there was a mention to the effect that in Madagascar and the DRC, the department will be providing technical assistance for holding of elections in these two countries. But with Zimbabwe, South Africa will only be participating as part of SEOM, which is the SADC election observer mission, because Zimbabwe has not requested any technical assistance. And then the other thing is the Cuba. It was mentioned that Cuba has actually started repaying its loan, and it has paid more in advance. And the fact that now the ARF, after their experience with Cuba, will be now focusing, starting in 2018-19, focusing on issuing of investment loans, which will be a new a sort of new area for the ARF. Now, Chairperson, we are on number 10, which is observations and concerns raised by the committee, the findings. The committee had noted that the department had said, much as they have an increased budget in terms of numbers, they will still have to work within that budget, and it's still sort of not enough for what they intend doing for 2018-19, but they undertook to work within what is available, and also to make sure that they will find ways and means to get extra budget for the international events which they need to host this year, much as there are no extra funds coming from National Treasury. Then on number two, the committee found that they noted that actually the department has tried to contain expenditure, which the ceiling. They are trying to work within the ceiling, which has been imposed by National Treasury in terms of compensation of employees. So that will help the department to have a saving, so that they can use the money for other activities which are planned for this year. Then the number three, the committee noted that actually there are two cost drivers impacting on the budget of the department, and this is one is the LRP's composition of employees, because their salaries are paid in foreign currency, and also the fact that their budget in terms of the overall budget itself is also impacted upon by foreign exchange because of the currency fluctuations. But the committee noted that, however, the department has started to gradually reduce the number of LRPs in the mission, as it was reported, and this would further strengthen, at least, or contain, or not lessen the impact of foreign exchange on the budget aid for the mission. It was also further proposed by the committee that perhaps rationalization of missions should also be considered in the future to address this challenge. Then on four, the committee identified a need for a regular political engagement and discussion with the minister. and on various issues, and this was agreed to, and also it was pointed out that actually if the committee understands or appreciates the politics behind certain positions that South Africa has to take, it would further enrich engagement by the committee with the population or the with South Africans, so that they are able to understand why South Africa takes certain positions internationally. And also it was agreed that these positions would also enrich the department in its further deliberations and also in its work, so that they are able to factor in some of the concerns or some of the political views that members would have spoken to. Then there was also more information was sought on the reasons why there will be a differentiated kind of support to different countries which will be holding elections this year. And then on 6, it was noted that the department had actually conducted that feasibility study in terms of checking whether acquisition or disposal strategy would work better. And the committee noted that there is a pilot project going on in New York, after which, if it's successful, then it will be rolled over to other areas. 7, it was noted that South Africa was campaigning now for a non-permanent seat in the UN Security Council for 18 and 20. And then more information was sought in terms of the Ezulwini consensus, whether South Africa currently in its bid for non-permanent seat, whether it will get support from Africa, and 2, whether the actual bigger picture relating to the aspirations of the Zulu consensus, whether they are still being pursued within the AU. And that is the concern that was raised. And then number 8 is the concern was raised with regard to low interest Africa trade, and also to find out whether the existence of the African continental free trade area would change this trend of low intra-Africa trade. And it was also asked why South Africa did not sign the agreement in Rwanda in March 2018. When we come to 9, this is where Cuba was commended for having paid back ahead of time a large percentage of its current loan with South Africa. And then it was also noted that the ARF is now looking into issuing investment loans in the future. On 10, here details were sought in terms of what impact would be on the activities of the ARF when National Treasury has recalled this 1.6 billion from its surplus, and whether, in fact, this was also seen as a threat to the historical mandate of the ARF, which is actually expected to work as soft power tool in order to leverage South Africa's foreign policy aspirations. So if it doesn't have the money, then there is no way it's going to be able to influence, to extend its national interest into other areas, especially in Africa. Then number 10, 11, is on the operationalization of SASSA, which the committee has been saying since 2014 that all these problems that the ERF is having would adequately be addressed if SASSA comes into place. And then the department also, it was also noted that the 204 million owed to the ERF has since been paid. Then 12 is where more information was requested in terms of the political and rent value of South Africa's membership to international organizations. And then 13 was on when the committee requested that since South Africa has assumed chairship of different organizations this particular financial year, a consolidated report should be submitted to the committee, which will at least cover whatever achievements and also, you know, the activities that South Africa carried on while it was chairing these different organizations during this financial year. And then 14 is the issue of information which was sought regarding disciplinary cases which were pending finalization. All disciplinary cases, including that one of the CFO. So 15 is the more detail on the roadmap which South Africa, I mean the department has in place in terms of addressing the issue of low intra-trade. intra-Africa trade, and also the fact that there is a presidential drive to create job opportunities through attracting FDI, whether, you know, how the department is going to assist in that kind of approach. Then when we go to 16, there was an issue raised with regard to whether there is any relationship between the mandate of the four investment gurus appointed by the president and the department's economic diplomacy drive. And also there was also a need for clarity why the department only had 10 programs aimed at youth and people with disability. And 18 is where information was requested in terms of what South Africa is going to be doing going forward in terms of the reform of the UN Security Council. And lastly, an update was requested in terms of what the department has done so far in terms of upgrading the ICT systems of the department. And then 11 chapters, and this is where the responses came from the department. Number one, that they are going to still achieve their objectives despite the budget that they have. It's an increased budget, but in terms of the activities which they are supposed to carry on, it's still limited. And then on the issue of LRTs and cost containment measures, the department responded to the fact that through laying off of some of the LRTs, they will be able to get that 60 million, which is meant for BRICS Summit, and 13 million, which is needed for hosting the AWARA Summit. And this will be done within the budget, the allocated budget of the department, because there are no extra funds from National Treasury. And then with regard to rationalization of missions, the department responded that maybe time and space should be given for the new minister and the president to study the situation and take appropriate decisions on the matter. And then on the political discourse between the minister and the committee, that idea was welcomed, and it was also mentioned that it would such discussions would also help influence what goes into the strategic plan of the department. The areas that the committee is going to raise will find expression in the strategic plan of the department. Then the issue of the kind of assistance that South Africa is going to extend to different countries which will hold elections. It was explained that Madagascar and the DRC have requested technical assistance while Zimbabwe had not. Hence, South Africa will participate in Zimbabwe under the auspices of the SADC. Now, with regard to property management strategy, it was approved in August 2017, and there is a pilot project going on in New York, and if that one is successful, then it will be rolled over to other areas. South Africa, or under seven, the response was that yes, South Africa fully supports the ASEAN consensus in that Africa should have representation in the UN Security Council. However, currently South Africa was campaigning for a different for a non-permanent seat in the UN Security Council. So, and Africa was supporting, South Africa is actually a candidate for Africa. And the lobbying process has been intensified, giving hope for a successful bid by South Africa. Then the African Continental Trade Area was said to be actually meant to address the low intra-Africa trade. So South Africa only signed the declaration, but currently there are consultations which are going on so that all the relevant stakeholders can have a common purpose, and then later South Africa hopes to sign and ratify. And definitely when ratification comes, Parliament will be involved at that stage. Then on the issue of why, there was a question on why Cuba was paying, ARF was paying Cuba. Funds were from the ARF to Cuba. So since the US economic embargo on Cuba, commercial banks have not been able to have any transactions going to Cuba. So the ARF had to step in to effect the transactions under the Economic Assistance Package Agreement, where South Africa was to extend grants and loans to Cuba. And Cuba has started to repay the loan ahead of stipulated time. Then in terms of whether the department could have done otherwise when the National Treasury requested for them to surrender the surplus of 1.6 million, it was said Section 7.2 of the ERF provides that any balance surplus should be carried forward as a credit for the fund for the next financial year. But however, National Treasury has requested the ERF to surrender the surplus. So it remains. In fact, there was also a mention of PFMA hasn't come after the ERF, but that issue, we left it out because it needs still to be discussed. It's not wholly correct. So the concern was that the issue is if the ERF is going to be surrendering surplus money, whereas it's receiving reduced allocation each year from 2015, then there will be a challenge towards it being able to implement its mandate. Then 11.11, the department responded to say there are still issues which they need to finalize with national treasurers. I think this kind of answer has been with the committee since 2010. And there seems to be that issue of consultation, which is the national treasurer insists that it should be consulted before, whereas the departments understand consultation to be not for the national treasurer to make a decision, but to know, to be informed that there have been requests of this nature which South Africa needs to fund. But national treasury wants to decide whether it will be a worthy project or not. So this kind of tension has been delaying the finalization of FATFA since 2010, and it remains to be so, unless maybe the new ministers themselves are able to discuss it and finalize it. Now on 11-12, this is the response that the department gave to say there will be a detailed report on South Africa's membership and related information which will come to the committee for consideration. And then there will also be a detailed report relating to the chairship of South Africa in different organizations this year. And the fact that allegations against the CFO have been investigated and all other pending disciplinary matters were receiving attention. What the department is going to do is that during its quarterly performance reporting processes, they are going to be updating that information and reporting to the committee on it. Then it was noted that there was no official involvement of the department in the mandate of the activities of the four investment groups who as appointed by the president. I don't know if investment groups is the right, but this is what was said in the committee. So we just recorded it as such. I think they are
envoys.
Investment envoys. So there's no official involvement of the department. And then 16, the department has responded to say that there are other programs which are ongoing, which relate to youth and people with disability. It's not that the 10 are the only ones, it's just that 10 is meant for this year. And also they have opened other opportunities aimed for vulnerable groups within the department. And then in terms of the reform of the United Nations, the department has responded that the agenda will be further pursued, especially this time when if they do actually get the non-permanent seat in the UN Security Council. They will try and keep that reform agenda alive. Now on 11-18, the issue of payments to, I mean annual payments to the AU were explained to the effect that South Africa and other countries, the other four countries, they are supposed to contribute towards 15% of the African Union operational budget. And then there's also the peace fund, which they have to pay annually. And these are the areas where national treasury has not been able to agree with the department in terms of, you know, the actual assessment. And also the fact that the department's view is that these are, you know, in line with South Africa's foreign policy in terms of making sure that the continent is self-sufficient and also able to solve African problems using African solutions. So the two departments are still at loggerheads in terms of, you know, the bankability, which is what National Treasury is looking on, whether it's a fair assessment for South Africa to retain that much, whereas the department sees political and foreign policy, national interest actually being ably met, and also, you know, South Africa putting money on things that they are actually preaching, so that there is a leverage in the activities of the EU by some of it. So, Chairperson, I think conclusion is the normal conclusion to say that the committee finds the department to be in line, I mean the plan of the department to be in line with the budget, and also the fact that the department has undertaken to work with that tight budget and but still meet its target, and the fact that over the years the committee has contributed, you know, towards the work of the department. It has made suggestions and recommendations which the department took, and also those recommendations have helped enhance the way South Africa relates with other countries, and the fact that the committee has the Foreign Service Bill before it and is going to finalize it in 2018, and the fact that there will be, let me see, I think there is only one thing left there, or the fact that the APP is also in line with SONA and also in line with the NDP. So the area where the committee's recommendations, I left it like that, but just took a few which I thought would not have members would not have any problem with, but the rest will wait to be guided by the committee in terms of recommendations, Chapter 6. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, for a very long and detailed content. Remember, there are two ways of looking at the report. One is to start from the page where the presentation started, or to look at the committee findings.
Okay.
Yeah. Over the medium term.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I also light on just on a few things before Siago takes your decline now? On page 3, the state of the nation address, you need a capital A there. And this first line also in his made a state of the nation address, the president, blah, blah, blah. Did you see that? See it now?
Which page we are following?
Page 3.
Page
3. Well, just saying the state of the nation address, the A is capital. And then
Chairperson, in terms of parliamentary, what is this thing? A now is so, now we write A with small and N with capital. That's the parliamentary editing, editorial style of parliament.
Like sun, almost.
Sona.
Yeah, but with the A, it's been small.
Yeah.
S, big S, oh, okay, not big S. Capital S, small O, big N, and small A.
Capital O, capital N, small A.
Yes, that is it.
Where was this official line?
It's in the parliamentary editorial notes. Yes.
Where is it?
Yes, we'll show you.
Small and all other
things. How is it? Okay. So and then page 7, the silencing of the gun, X-Gun. I thought because it's the name of the program. On page 7, line number 2, you need a capital S and a capital G, just like... Yeah, I'm just saying there are a few things that I'm going to be doing this. Page 7. Otherwise,
okay, so that one.
Okay, let's go to page 23 then. The observations and concerns raised by the committee or the findings. Number 1. 10.2, 10.3. On 10 number 2, didn't we speak about the figures that they themselves, the department, gave us? Remember they said they will spend, was it 60 million for bricks and I don't know how much for the other event.
15 million, it's further on.
It's further on?
Yeah.
In the same, in 10.2?
No, it's not in 10.2. But it should be further on.
Okay.
The amount?
Yes, you're right. The amount of 60 million for bricks and 18 million for Ayora.
It's under 11.2.
Yeah.
Or it's under 11.
2, yes.
Yeah. So we don't need it level 10.2, no?
11.2, it was the reform.
Yeah, you see, we are looking at observations.
Oh, okay.
That is also responsive. So your point is in the response.
Okay. But we put it here, that's the question.
No, I think the correction to the chair is that when we ask them how this money was allocated, what informed it, blah, 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 then it came as a response.
Yeah.
9 and then 10,
no.
10.4. On 10.4, line number 3, I think it should be public representatives rather than people.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good one.
Then 10.5, can I be reminded? Are these the only countries that are going for elections this year? Zimbabwe, Madagascar, DRC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In
mm-hmm.
Africa,
in the SADC.
In the.
Oh, in the SADC.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No. This is Swaziland. Swaziland in September.
Eswatini.
It wasn't mentioned, Chairperson.
We can include something
in there. And those elections are just.
Wait. It may not have been mentioned, but I'm from the SADC.
Mention it in your speech.
I'm from the SADC meeting over the long weekend. They are part of, they are in September.
Yeah.
And they even told us about the new name, it's no longer Swaziland, it's Eswatini.
Remind them.
But we can't do it, Eswatini.
So what do we do?
Eswatini.
We did it in the speech.
Okay.
We're moving on.
Yeah, we're moving on.
So I have a point that was raised under 10.7.
Yes.
I wasn't able to receive the response because I had to go to a Pan-African meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a response from the department. So I want to know, where must I raise my point? When we come to the response and vote here. Can we come to other points?
Yeah.
Okay, I will.
On 10.8, when we said there is a low intra-African trade, and I think someone said 12%, but I also know that for a long time it's at 12%. Didn't we say this low is actually 12% here, to 10.8, or did we wait for that spot? I'm not so sure, but what I know is that for a long time it has been hovering at around 12%, which is very bad.
Yeah.
If you compare it to the intra-European trade, which is over 60%. But of course it's a noisy debate, don't worry.
Yeah, you're
writing
your speech on the
page 25. On 10.12, since this, more information was needed on the political and right wing of South Africa's membership to international organizations.
Mm.
Was it on transfer though?
Yeah.
Yes. And membership.
It's on transfers and membership.
It's under transfers program.
Program 5.
Yeah. Okay. Then for me again, 10.15.
Oh, 10.4.
Okay. Did we say that once the roadmap to increase intra-Africa trade, and we didn't bring in the TTI yet? Because we needed to have that. Because it is not a principal. I wonder if I might be what I was going to say, but then you say it again, because whether it is a principal strategic objective of DERCO to increase intra-African trade. Well, you see, the ambassadors must, those who are dealing with economic diplomacy and trade, must identify the opportunity, then DERCO must come in and put a trade attaché and work together and use these opportunities.
Yeah, that it might be how we craft it.
Yeah.
Together with trade and industry.
Yeah.
If I can take 6, but to tackle and the SADC and all different trade,
yeah.
If you stay in your body of work.
Yeah. I'm just saying that you cannot be the sole domain of people. For that, we need certain partners. So we can insert some semantical words.
Then there was something about the gurus on page.
I was saying the role of the department on 10/15 is to actually participate in the processes of attracting. That's identifying, attracting, and they leave it at that. So since the committee, so maybe we shouldn't overreach into the mandate of trade and industry. We leave it up to where the missions are responsible to. So if we mention trade, we are overarching.
You are afraid of the content advisor of trade and industry.
Chair,
would be that I'm not afraid of the chair of the other side.
What we can do is to just highlight in terms of our participation in facilitating the tripartite free trade area and the continental free trade.
And at 10.15.
The same one, the same one.
Okay.
Rather than us talking about trade and industry.
No, I think point taken.
Yeah,
mandate wise.
Let me rise on 10.13 and 14.
Yeah.
Just to say on 13, it was also started in particular because with the current chair. So just to emphasize SADC. And then on 14, the specifics was the case against the CFO. And I remember Honorable Rafuji asked for a written report after answer. So perhaps it must be limited as such to say, in particular, the concern about the CFO and the request for it to be put in writing.
On 18, whilst I agree with Honorable Mkhalaka, I want to remind the committee that an emphasis was also made on the chairship of IOR.
And that
yes.
Yes, sir. Number 13 is a summary of
all.
Because that report is supposed to.
It's saying various international.
Yes, it's all of them. It's AWORA, it's BRICS, it's SADC, it's FOCAC. AU, peace and security. So it's a detailed report on all the activities. And then the on 14, it was on all plus the CFO was mentioned, but all other. So I don't know if we, if that doesn't cover, because the response has been this one plus many others. There will be a full report.
We do need to be specific about the CFO. Because there were issues that were raised with the committee, with the this and that. You see, there are disciplinary cases in the department, trade or fate, but this one was a big issue. And when the DG briefed us, he told us about the rest, but also about this specific one. Now, the formulation on line number 2, 10/16, the president's four investment gurus. We said the new.
Envoy.
It's called the president's four investment envoy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then the four is written just like that.
Or is it
written as a full form?
Okay. We'll write it in
West. Yeah, let it check and put it up to for compliance.
Yes, okay.
And then page 25. 26, I'm sorry. Right, those were the committee findings and observations. The responses, we want to listen to the responses.
I want to pick up on a few.
Yes.
Maybe should say.
Yeah, we'll go up to the page and the paragraph.
Okay. My point is around the issue of 11.7. So the point I want to make is I asked specifically what is South Africa's position with regard to the campaigning for the seat on the UN Security Council. And then there's another point which was around 11.17, the reform. And I must say, I was not here, but the answer that was given was a very weak answer. It was, yes, we are pushing forward. However, it was not updated information. Because that very morning, and I knew this when I asked the question, but I was waiting to see if the department was awake. That very morning, Aziz Pahar was appointed special envoy to go to the UN and lobby South Africa's position. So the point I'm trying to make is that the department should have up-to-date information and provide us with that. The answers are vague and all over the place. They're not seeing the threat that Morocco is presenting. We're sitting here saying, oh, it's all fine, everyone's going to support South Africa. But number one, you don't know that an envoy has been sent to do your work. You don't have the information. So I find that problematic. It means our department is not on top of it. And then with regard to the four investment gurus or envoys, I also find it strange that given that these are diplomatic postings, that Durko has no role to play at all in it. I understand that the president has the authority to make these appointments and they have a specific task. But we're talking, going back to the trade and industry point, we attract the investment, trade and industry takes it over. Likewise, the president makes this appointment, where's Durko's support? If one of those investment gurus are imprisoned or assaulted or something happens to them, it's not the president that's going to go and rescue them. It's Durko's responsibility. So the fact that they don't have this relationship is a little bit concerning and maybe needs to be addressed. Every envoy, ambassador, high commissioner that represents us falls under Durko. Well, that's the thing. We have a foreign service bill. Does it now cater for people who are in envoys? When the president was the deputy president, he was the special envoy to go and sort something out in Burundi. But he needed to report back to somebody, and not only the presidency. Durko knows also what is happening. Anyway, I won't labor the point. That is my input.
Before you come in, can I get clarity former deputy minister was appointed envoy to the UN for purpose of pushing the Ezulwini matter or the non-permanent
seat
of
the reform issue? So he is there to deal with lobbying for us to get the seat on the Security Council, to also start looking into the reform processes, which the interministerial cabinet obviously has already started its work, and to drive the Ezulwini issue, which I think has fallen off the table right now.
Honourable Mayela.
I also want to touch on the issue raised by Honourable Kano. I was very disappointed with the answer from the department on the issue of the special investment. Because The answer was actually saying it's not our duty and we have nothing to do about it. So I would say maybe in our recommendation, we should make a recommendation that will task the department to ensure that they are proactive. They should not have to wait for problems.
Mm-hmm.
They should proactively see to it that the appointment by the president does not fade.
Mm.
You know, I think that's very important.
Yeah. Okay, let me also enter the fray and say the point that Honorable President has just made just put the brainwave on me, because we don't know the mandate of Aziz Bahar, whether is it to push the Ezulwini consensus or is it to push South Africa's position. So his mandate and role we don't know, of which the department must know. And I think we can put it in as part of our recommendation, as Honorable Maihai can say. And he also asked that important question about the investment group. Perhaps they didn't understand the context of why he's asking. But it's an important one, because of if they go there, they go under the ambit of DICO. You see, the presidency and DICO are same WhatsApp group. You know, they are almost together. The lines might be a little bit blurry, but they operate within the same context. The president appoints, and then DICO takes over. Because of those guys, when they go, it is DICO that's going to facilitate their visa. It's DICO that's going to facilitate their engagement, not the president. So the fact that they didn't know and they approved, they behaved as if it's president's staff, we're not involved, we don't know what's going to happen. It's quite a little bit unacceptable. They should have said, the president has appointed them, now we are taking over and we will brief you, the department, in terms of where they will be going and how we assist them. Nobody goes overseas without the ambit of people, even though the president's appointed.
Sir, when you write the notes, just expunge the adulteration WhatsApp group.
Can we focus on the small things?
I think that was our observation. And for the reply from the department, it was a shock for them, it was a surprise. I think even for us, it was also a shock. Because, so really, we were on the advantage to really to observe that. However, you omit another message, which is another misfortune. As I say, that it was a shock for them. So let's not put words in their mouth. Then we will get. We will. Yeah. So what is what you should say in your debate? Because I think all of us really it was a surprise, and we really welcomed that intervention by the president. For what really they what we want that the, what they must say, I think really it is totally unfair. What we can say as a committee is to say that, to put our observation and say that we need further elaboration and response on this matter. What actually the department is going to assist with.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Luckily, although the DG is not here, there are three senior officials who are very strategically deployed. Mr. Mbekazi Nosisi, who Swazi, no Matawa. Now the three of them can advise their principals about this issue that has been raised. But I don't know if I'm speaking for the department. I take for granted that on matters international, like this appointment of the envoys, and whether Mr. Tahad and the others, or matters on defense, or matters on trade and industry, that the president's office does a consultation with the minister. I just said that behind the scenes, they do agree, I will be appointing so and so to do that. So it could be that the minister knew by the DG on the day of the appointment, or the DG did not know. So there could be those possibilities, but do advise the minister that members did say that there are areas where the department must be able to give us information on whether it is aware on the things that are done by the president, but those matters are interdicted. Then, oh yes, you know.
For record purposes, is the committee saying that we should have, because there will be minutes of this meeting which will capture all the discussions. But then for recommendations in the report, is this issue, is the committee saying we should reflect? Because it was not discussed during the, it's a new issue, which are we saying we should make a recommendation on it? But there will be minutes which will reflect. So I just want to find out how recording will be.
Just to ask you, it can be part of the recommendation, just the way Honorable Rapport is putting it.
Okay.
To say to the department, we would seek further clarity on this issue as part of the recommendation.
Okay.
Because we asked a question and then an answer was given that was unsatisfactory. We can't circumvent the bill. All that we can say is we ask further clarity. I think it should be on our government.
Any other thing? Yeah. On page 25? No, that is fine. Responses, should we discuss the responses now?
Not necessarily. It's what they said, and they are not here to speak.
Tell me, if it's the law, something appears to be a new lingo, or is it nomenclature? If you look at 11.8, page 27, this AFCFTA, I'm old school on this one, that it's a continental free trade area, but now you say African. Where does this come from now?
The official documents. The official documents refer to it as African continent, and they abbreviate it with A and small f, and then CFTA.
Yeah. Because there are other continental free trade area agreements which refer to either Europe as a continent or...
So this one distinguishes it from the others, it's African.
Okay.
11.14, is it not just to say chief financial officer and chief accounting officer?
11.14.
CFO. Oh, financial.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, page 27. Page 29, I thought one line was not properly captured. No, not properly captured, I just thought you can put it better. So you want to see now page 28, line, the last paragraph. The department has been operating on a very Anything else?
Yes.
Chair, just the technical semantics, page 29. Paragraph 2. Graduation from the unqualified audit opinion baseline to a clean audit.
Mm-hmm.
Is it clean audit or was it qualified with
the goal?
Was it not qualified with methods of entry?
What is in the APP is that we want to graduate from the current unqualified with findings to a clean audit.
Right.
So the committee is also.
It's a goal, okay?
Yes.
All right. No, yes.
Okay, this will really sound quite hysterical, but I'll raise it.
Thank you.
29, page 29 at the top. I think responsibility in diplomatic interactions might be a better word.
On which one?
Line one.
Yeah. Oh, intercourse is a diplomatic language.
Is
it?
Yes.
Not, oh, okay, I see.
That's why it sounds ridiculous.
No, it's
no,
a...
No, I'm not going to put diplomatic
before.
Then it
doesn't
sound
good. Yes.
With this improvement and the observations on our members, can I hear you? Now I have to hear you per party on them.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. I hear you as a committee.
Yes.
No, I hear you as a committee. That is a good point. On the adoption or non-adoption of the report, so that we can go for a budget vote on the 15th.
But Chair, it's still, as a recommendation, it's saying providing what looks as if it's half corrupted.
So what? What
if you look at the last page, I think the content advisor said he left the word just to, for the committee they want to put in. 13.1 is just a providing, and then 13.3 is saying facilitate.
They have to put it.
You see?
Yes, to put.
And then 13.6 is say finalizing. So,
what are those? I saw them, but I thought they must be read together with something else.
Chairperson, that is, it was meant for the committee now to actually provide for the recommendations that they would want. So 13.3, 13.4, 5, and 7, if the committee could say whether they agree with the wording, so that we continue. Then we have captured now the discussion that has taken place, which will form part of the recommendation.
Okay.
So if the committee is agreeable with what is there currently, 13, 3, 4, 5, these were just suggestions which we thought we could use. Then the words there is just keywords of when we put recommendations, we'll use those words.
Based on committee findings.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you comfortable?
Yes.
Yeah. Can I hear the committee now on the report?
Chair, let me, on behalf of the Democratic Alliance, say that we appreciate the report. Well done, content advisor. I think the content is very much well crafted. You've done a great job on this one. But just to say, as we know, Parliament works on the political party system, so on the parliamentary system. So as a Democratic Alliance, we don't have a caucus mandate. We got to get a caucus mandate. So we know the report, but we reserve our right to vote otherwise.
The DA is awaiting its caucus mandate. That's normal stuff in Parliament. In fact, it's year on year that they say this.
And it should be minister,
Yeah.
Always minister that. Rafuti, your hand, I see you are itching to.
I'm itching because I'm really proud of our content advisor and even the secretary and all the the staff and the researchers have done an excellent job at Chairperson. We are really proud of our content advisor. Very detailed. She is very detailed and she makes people that we must enjoy, you know, this global arena, international relation. Thank you very much, Otimeo.
And Tete Madala.
Tete Madala.
They married?
Yeah, really. I really enjoy international relations. It's exciting, you know, and led by a woman, you see. So I'm moving. I'm also adopting the report with some changes to the ratification. However, I just wanted to say to our DA counterpart, I think the caucus, your DA caucus, tell them that this is an excellent job. Mm-hmm. They don't come and defend when it is not necessary. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Rafuti has moved for the adoption of the report. Seconded by Honourable Maela. Now you know the position of the DA. The other parties are not here.
Well, let's move on.
Yeah. Okay.
They will explain themselves.
Yeah. The report is so adopted because there's been no objection. Now, honourable members, on number four, there was, well, let's just deal with what honourable Kalyan was raising on earlier on. Yes, honourable Chabeleng, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I will come to your province and tell them that you are very supportive. No, I was saying the ATC that Honorable Kalyan was talking about.
Failure.
Yeah, it was just given us another one, which does indicate that we have a meeting today. Now, on the Foreign Service Bill, we have the following program. And I have a suggestion to make. You remember that we had a letter from the chair of committees which said on the 25th this bill must be in the NA. Then there was a letter from the chief whip which said explain why you are slow on this and what intervention as a program are you putting in to ensure that before we ride on June 18, this work is covered. Then there was a meeting of the chairperson under Honorable Frolic, which then said that if a committee has not finished its work, and that's the last position on bill, if a committee will get into the recess, the committee has not finished its work, they are not going to close, they must sit in parliament and deal with the bill, but at the same time, they are expected to give reports on their constituency work. Now, there's a member here who has made a suggestion to amend the proposal that we were making last week, that we meet on Wednesday morning, then we meet on Wednesday evening, then we meet on Fridays to to say we could or should not should. We could meet on a Wednesday morning like we've done today, and after Parliament, not today but from next week, after Parliament we meet 2 hours, and then we meet on Thursday evening after Parliament, maybe another 2 hours. Then we leave Friday free, because members from Limpopo and members from Eastern Cape have got their connecting flights. Then I have thought over it, and I thought it's quite workable, because you are here in Parliament anyway, and most of you are here as parties and as members of the committee. On that Wednesday, you meet in the evening, and then on a Friday, you are out of Parliament, you meet again, and your Friday is free. I have not calculated how many times that can happen. I suspect that if it can happen only twice in 2 weeks in succession, it will mean how many meetings outside the morning one. It will be twice on a Wednesday evening, I mean two meetings and two meetings on a Thursday, plus two on Wednesday. It's 6 meetings. I don't know how much time can be covered. Do I make sense about what I'm thinking? You're saying the normal 2 Wednesday meetings, the next week Wednesday and the other week, plus the 2 evening meetings, plus the 2 Thursday meetings. I suspect that, I don't know what will be the date. Before the 25th, then you could be very far with the bill, instead of waiting until the 28th. I mean, 18 June. Can I hear you on the suggestion? So in other words, I'm making a suggestion that we adopt the suggestion that has been made by one of the members.
Thank you very much, Chair. In fact, I would want to lean on a proposal that was made by Honorable Floric at your committee chair for the meeting. Because of, if you look at the programming that we have, considering that other members serve on other committees, and the whole of May will be about the budget vote debate. And once after the budget vote debate, they end up very late. So if they have given us the leeway to say that at least we've got up until June, those 6 meetings that you are proposing, I don't think that if we do it during our recess period, it will be a sense mesh. We can rather do it that way, because of doing it with 2 hours, limiting ourselves to 2 hours, is not going to solve the problem. So if they have given us the leeway to say, you've got up until June to process and finalize this, then you've got the leeway. We can eat up some of our research period. It won't be that much. Rather than doing it now, during May, where we must do all the budget votes and we must do the vote schedules as well. So the program looks untied, and I'm glad that Honorable Floric has came to the realization that it cannot be congested around May. If it is giving us up until June, then it's feasible we can do it. Remember, there was a thing of saying we've also got to look at the issue of the assets and travel to Namibia. That can happen within this period. But if we say June, then we've got a leg to stand on. And then that is where we can finalize and say, if it's research period, we can sit the whole day for that matter. It's even better. Rather than 2 hours within this busy main period. And this main period is about budget votes. And I don't know. I'm only going to make the budget vote on the 15th, but there are members here who are going to make other budget votes elsewhere. So, again, the congestion of time is much impractical. Let's rather do it during June. It's not going to take all our research period time. We can have enough time to do that. If they've given us that leeway, and it looks like the consensus we had from your meeting was to get that leeway about all those. There are about 49 legislation that still needs to be processed. Is it 33 now? So it means we're going to have to sit around June. It won't be long. It might be maybe we can stay 3 days in 1 week and finalize. If we are here between 9 up until whatever time, we are not congested by plenaries and everything, we can do our work and finalize and finish this thing in June, rather than trying to squeeze out ourselves now.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's my counter proposal, Chair.
First of all, I don't see harm in doing both. It's much better to do something earlier rather than wait for the unknown. Let me mention one of the unknowns, which is relatively new. And that is, there is the bill that is on land, which people have got to get out, go out to the public. And I think there are some members of this committee who are also members of the CRC committee, maybe having to go out when he runs. So I'm not sure whether this, I would rather he do this, and if there is still something else to be done, we'll take what the Inkhala is saying to finalize. Rather than say, don't do anything now, wait for June, you come out there.
Members? Well, let me just bring something in, and then we can proceed to look at our program. The 25th, which was an earlier date imposed by one of our colleagues, is actually the last day of the EPCs, of the Extended Public Committee. Now, I don't think that we could wait until we arrive on June before we get into this work. Perhaps what we can amend is the meetings on Thursday. But is there any harm if on a Wednesday after Parliament we meet, we would do something on it? Because by the look, what is supposed to happen beyond this point? Maybe let me speak to that. The first thing will be that there must be the adoption of the statement of the desirability of the DM by this committee. And then from there, we must bring in the legal services of Parliament. And from there, we would have adopted the report on the stakeholders that we consulted with the following stakeholders. And here are the things that they have raised. And between that, we would have sent that zero report to the department to note that on clause number that a particular department said something like that. But we must first adopt the report as this committee team, then send it to the department. Then the department must give us, we must give the department a time frame on what it says on those things where departments either say they were consulted or they are not supporting, because we are going to finalize on the bill. Then the other process is that in the intervening period, we must travel to Namibia. There was a suggestion of a Thursday and a Friday or a weekend. We must travel to Namibia and see the assets there and come back and take that report together with the Committee on Public Works and factor it in. Now, when you factor that in, it becomes a part of the tour. So the other tour was in Canada regarding the bill, but the other tour was on the assets because it seems to be contentious. So that the Committee on Public Works and ourselves have a joint similar report on what we're saying about assets. Right? And then beyond that point, then we get into the clause by clause. Now when you get into the clause by clause, we can sit after Parliament on a Wednesday, or we can take a full Friday. I suspect it might be one if we take a full Friday. Because it will be on cross and that and that and that. We adopt it, we amend it, we do that and that and that, and I think the lawyers of the department will guide us. So we can finish before we hide. But it's up to us, would it? How do we recast the program? There were two hands that were up.
Chairperson, I'm sorry, I have to leave now because I just got very short notice of the ad hoc committee reviewing medical aid, so that's at 12. So if you don't mind, I have to leave now. Unfortunately, I won't be here for the next 2 weeks due to the Pan-African Parliament sitting. And it's going to be quite a hectic session of the Pan-African Parliament because we are choosing a new president. I had hoped that at some stage we would have...
I'm spending money. Make sure that he's not a president.
I'm telling you.
Or a nice...
I've been appointed as the chief deciding officer to oversee the election. So definitely West Africa not giving it. But anyway,
please.
So I'm just tendering my apologies. And I mean, I hope that we can reach consensus on when we sit, because if you look at our program at the moment, it is so tight, it's so congested, and we must do justice to this important.
No.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Not a quick good luck on our career. Members, or members, shouldn't I go and together with the society and rework the program? Because that's the answer. Rework on but let it, I still think we can bring it much earlier. We work on the program, then next week tell you which is the program, so the date and the time. Okay. We could meet on Milan and so on and so on, so then we stick to that. Maybe you can either take us to closer to the 25th or just beyond the 25th. But
we've got beyond, because that week of the 25th is nothing. The parliament's not sitting. So
the 28th.
From the 28th, doesn't work. There's nothing. It's committed of May.
Yes. Up to what date?
Up until the 1st of June.
Okay, Commissioner Sara, where is space?
There is a lot of space. The only thing that will be happening is the Tuesday will be the...
25th May,
right? The 25th May will be the hectic one because it's both schedules.
Right.
For the budget.
Yeah, right.
And then that Monday, from the Monday to the 28th. Friday is the consideration of those of our profession. From Monday the 28th, there's nothing. Tuesday is just a debate on Freedom Day and debate on Youth Day and questions to the deputy president. Wednesday, there's nothing. Thursday, there's nothing. Committee. 1 June, Friday, nothing. And the following 5, 6, 7 committees. That is why Project was saying. Up until the 15th June, it's committee.
Okay.
So we've got ample time.
I saw that they were handled. No, that would be what am I I'm required to do.
Yeah.
Maybe. So is to go back to Frolic and say,
this is the time.
Pursuant to your, and the chief, pursuant to your what, we are going to doing the following thing. That day, better. Mm-hmm. By full of that thing, our committee is working tightly on this thing. Comrade Dineo and Luwa, I saw your hands were up.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Sir, so we have just a report back on the trip to Namibia, sir. We have identified the last people.
No, on this one, taking into account what Mukhalapa was saying, which is Kunamalanga, 28 together, we can work on that.
It's part of that, sir.
Okay.
It is part of that, sir.
Okay, and then Namibia?
We have identified, sir, the end of nature. Which was earmarked for committees, instead of going to Namibia during a weekend, it might not achieve the results that the committee wants. So we will take 2 days of the committee work at the end of May, and then now utilize the next 2 weeks in June, where we will sit more than 2 or 3 days working on the bill.
So before the rise, the 18th, the rise, June 17th, 19th for now. How's this?
No, it's for them.
No, it won't. Yeah, I think it will be fine.
And then the budget debate for now is 15th May 2016. Yeah.
At 4.
Yeah. Any other thing?
At 4. Yeah.
Any other thing? Nothing.
Nothing.
Honourable members, thank you very much for your productive discussion.
Thank you.
The meeting is adjourned.
So, you need to deploy again.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You are.
I mean, the report on the skeletal and the seminar, they are laid forward. The most important one is to report the statement. And you have to be here for them.
No, are you shy?
No, it can be done.
Yeah.
So far, already. Up until the 14th June, you can do it from the 28th. I will lay that first day and this year, the trip to Namibia, the first year, and then you come back the first of June. And then the following week, you shall be the next year. No? Yes, thank you, sir.
Good.
I'm going to be here. I'm going to Senegal.
I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here.